Today, we'll choose an EV for a viewer looking for a small crossover compatible with OpenPilot/Comma.ai, a former Cybertruck reservation holder still dead set on a Tesla, and a gentleman underwater in a Ford Mustang Mach-E looking at his options. Hello and welcome to Battery Bargains, a series from the Batteries Included podcast where we answer your EV buying questions. This is episode number 21. I'm Dominic Chioni, and I am joined today by Tom Malogny, senior editor at Inside EVs and host of the YouTube channel State of Charge, and along with Kyle Connor from Out of Spec Studios. Now, if you're looking for your own battery bargain, email us with your use case and budget. Please keep the email to a couple of short paragraphs so we can get through as many as possible each week, and we'll see about featuring your case on an upcoming episode. All right, so let's kick this thing off with our first case for the day. And to be transparent, we've edited these and paraphrased these emails a bit for length and clarity. So are you guys ready to go car shopping?
Let's spend someone's money.
All right. So our first email comes to us from Alex, and let me set this up here. He writes, I'm looking for a smaller crossover. Let me share this on the screen, actually, with Alex. There we go. So I'm looking for a smaller crossover style electric vehicle to replace an aged gas car now that my living situation has changed to allow for that. Typically, only 1 to 2 occupants, but space for cargo would be great. OpenPilot/Comma.ai cap compatibility would be nice, but adaptive cruise and lane keeping are a must. I'm open to used or new, but ongoing service quality / ownership experience is a key factor. Currently considering Hyundai Kona Electric, Kia Niro EV, Chevy Bolt EUV, Mustang Mach-E, Tesla Model Y, and Volkswagen ID.4. Location, Indianapolis, Indiana. Budget, under $60,000, not eligible for any subsidies or rebates, but do have very favorable charging rates at home. Range, for in-town driving, 150 miles of highway range would be ideal. For road tripping, I'd really need to be at 300 miles, but this isn't a major factor for us, as I have a motorhome for most road trips. Daily driving would be around 20 miles local driving on not great city streets. All right, well, that's quite a bit. Kyle, let's maybe start with you. What do you see there? That kind of, he's got a whole bunch of options already laid out for us.
Yeah, and those are the options that I think people should consider, all the way from a very reasonably priced vehicle like Chevy Bolt EUV, all the way up to, you know, all top end Model Y and ID.4, of course, Mach-E thrown in the mix. Ultimately, any of these vehicles will be able to do his in-town driving. That's one thing we always say about EVs is they can all get you from A to B. And if you're just cruising around town, maybe you save some money and go for the electric Kona or a Kia e-Niro or something like that. Or if you really want one EV that can do it all as an all-rounder, that's where you get into the Mach-E, Model Y, and ID.4 territory, because all of those vehicles have a lot more range and, more importantly, faster charging with good driver assistance in each of them, actually. I would argue that those three vehicles, the Model Y, ID.4, and Mach-E, have fantastic driver assistance systems for the highway. The Mach-E is the only one that has Blue Cruise, though. However, it's also probably the worst charging of those three as well, which has always been my issue with the Mach-E, as well as probably the worst suspension tuning of the bunch. I actually think the ID.4, especially with the updates for 2024, make it a really good option here. It has plug-in charge. It has great route planning. The software is totally improved. It is quite expensive, though, and that's where the Model Y always comes up on Batteries Included, where we're like, you just can't beat the value of a Model Y because it has supercharger access natively. It's got great software. It's got great range, great efficiency, and that's always the default choice. And I think that should be the default choice for this person, except if you want to be different, ID.4 seems like a really good second option. What do you think, Tom?
Yeah, I mean, everything you said is spot on. I'm wondering why he didn't also include Hyundai Ioniq 5 in that bunch, and he went with the Kona, right. He didn't include it, so we won't talk about that because evidently he knows his EVs and knows exactly along the lines of what he was looking for. Everything that Kyle said, I think spot on. I wouldn't exclude the Bolt EUV though. It seems like for road tripping, I'd need it to be 300 miles, which obviously the Bolt EUV wouldn't get. But honestly, none of those vehicles are going to get you a true 300 miles at highway speeds if you're road tripping, you know, and not reliably.
Mach-E rear-wheel drive.
Yeah, but that's like
it's barely
100% down to zero. Nobody's going to do what you and I do, like, you know, and just literally drive it to zero. You know, so the 300 miles, and that's, Kyle, what, one person at 70 miles an hour. There's going to be more than one people. Most people road trip at 75, maybe even 80 miles an hour on the highways. None of these, no vehicle is going to do that except a Lucid Air, you know, is really going to give you 300 miles at true highway speed. So, you know, but that's not a major factor, he said, because he has another vehicle that he uses for that. So, you know, I wouldn't preclude the Bolt EUV if you can find one. A big fan of them. The more I drive my Bolt EV, the more I like it. So all the things Kyle said, you can't go wrong with Model Y, let's face it. It's the value is ridiculous. And it does everything you want it to do. You can road trip with it. It's got tons of cargo space. It's got good driver assist features. You know, you can't beat it. But, you know, I don't want to just keep shooting out Teslas every time people ask for something. It's always good to say that's a good option, but there are other options too. You know, Mach-E would do fine. Kyle's talking about the new ID4. Absolutely. But don't just completely eliminate EUV. If you can find a good Bolt EUV, preferably the premium, maybe with Blue Cruise, because you can only Super Cruise. You can only get the Super Cruise option on the premium version. You can't order it on the lower trim. There's very few of these things out there now in lots, you know, because they stopped making them a few months ago. But if you could find one, don't eliminate it. Take one for a ride. They're great little cars, and you'll save some money over the other vehicles. So I don't know how important the savings is, but, you know, I'd take a Bolt EUV with Super Cruise and put the 10 grand in my pocket every day of the week. So that's something to consider.
Okay. Well, I noticed there's also not a Nissan Ariya on this list, and that just got a big price cut from the manufacturer. I'm not sure exactly how it stacks up with these other ones, but that's definitely an option that he might want to go test drive at least to see how it is. And I'd also consider, of course, the EV6, the Kia EV6 or the Hyundai Ioniq 5 as well. Also, the new Polestar 2, that's still below his, because he's got a very generous budget, $60,000. And the Polestar 2 has got some huge improvements this year, right? And like list prices, $55,300 for the all-wheel drive, just under $50,000 for the rear-wheel drive single motor. I think that should be a
But the driver assistance sucks in that one, and I'm not sure you can get open pilot. So that would be the problem with Polestar 2. Also, the all-wheel drive didn't get big updates. It was just the single motor that got the big updates.
Thanks for that.
It seems like
he was really looking for crossover type vehicles, not a sedan.
That's true.
Yeah. So then you look at X or small EC. Crossover. What do they call the thing now? The stupid Volvo renaming. It's not XC40 Recharge. Is it EC40
EC40?
No, EC40 is the sloping one, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because that would be the C40.
Maybe it's the EX40.
Yeah, it's got to be the EX40. This is stupid. Anyway, the only ones in there that are compatible with Open Pilot, the Bolt for sure is, I think so. Maybe I shouldn't use the word for sure, but I know people have done it in Volts. So I imagine it's Chevy compatible. I need to explore more on Open Pilot, but I just wanted to make sure that we at least didn't ignore him on that point. But having good driver assistance is very important.
Right. With the $60,000 budget, I don't want to put him in a Bolt. And plus it has 50 kilowatt, you know, charging tops. So if you did have to take for a road trip, that'd be kind of a pain with the shorter range and also super slow charging. So yeah, kind of leaning like Tesla Model Y, of course, makes sense. Or, you know, Hyundai Ioniq 5, which is not on this list, or Kia EV6, also not on the list. But I think those among those three, go test drive and see what you think and see what feels comfortable for you and take it from there. What do you guys think?
Well, don't forget, just because you have $60,000 to spend doesn't mean you have to spend it all. So
True.
I'm still sticking to don't preclude the Bolt.
I think if a Kona works for this guy, my recommendation is actually, if you want to save money, go buy a used first generation Kona EV.
Yeah, if you want to save money.
Yeah, because you get you know, all the tech. Martin would be here rooting for that car. Right. And it's still, it's very efficient.
Still only 80 kilowatts max charging power, right?
Right. So the road trip is much better than the Bolt, but it's only like that's not taking much. So,
right.
You know,
right.
I think plenty of options for 60 grand. You can get one hell of a lot of car. You're start looking at used IX territory for 60 grand. He's not getting tax credits anyway. So why right. do you need a new car? IX with a big battery, you're talking easy 300 miles on a charge, 340 even, I think we've done at 70. Great driver assistance, banging sound system. That's makes a lot more sense to look in the used market for one of these luxury ones that have depreciated.
Right. Or even like 2023 ID4, Volkswagen ID4, those things are maybe a high MSRP, but they're at mid-30s brand new on cars.com. That's a pretty decent deal. I know the 24 is like so much more improved with the software and but everything.
The dealers may be advertising the tax credit in that price.
It's possible. Yeah. I need to call them and actually see what's up with that for sure. Okay. But we should move on to our next one. Our next letter comes to us from Morgan. And he says, hello, or he or she, I'm not sure actually which. I had a cousin named Morgan. It was a girl. Hello, a long-time listener. I've been leasing EVs for the past 6 years, first a Nissan Leaf, and now a 2021 Kia Niro. I am finally looking to purchase my first EV. I have a family of five. My wife has a Toyota minivan that we use for big trips. I live in Orange County, New York, in the Hudson Valley region, so all-wheel drive is a must. The new car would be for 2 to 4 passengers most of the time. I was saving up for the dual motor Cybertruck, but my maximum price range stops at $60,000, not including the tax credit, so I canceled my reservation. The Ford F-150 Lightning with a heated steering wheel is also out of my price range since the upgrades bring it to $70,000. So now I'm pretty dead set on the Tesla. With Cybertruck going up out my price range, I thought a new Model Y would be my choice, and I am very interested in the advanced autopilot with Auto Park. I'm interested in a used Model X, but not sure which would be the better buy. Morgan. All right. So Kyle, Model X or Model Y? I don't know if we should start with there. Or should we start with some of these prices?
Well, I think the Kia EV9 would be a great option. You can get a pretty lightly specced EV9 with credits, with all-wheel drive. Not far out of the 60K range. We have an EV9. It's a $61,000 sticker, I think. And it sounds like there might be some wiggle room here, especially when you factor in tax credits and everything on a lease, I should say. So you get all the credits on the EV9 on a lease. They're not built in the US yet, but they will be soon. That's just an oddball I wanted to throw out there between the topic of a new Model Y or a used Model X. Yeah, I mean, I think Model X's are, they hold their value better than any Tesla, no question. So if you can find a used recent one, I'm not sure you're going to be finding ones. Yeah, I guess 60 grand would get you like a newish dual motor Model X. I haven't looked at the prices super recently, but that's a great car with good range, with great driver assistance. But I have to say, Auto Park in any Tesla, it's okay. But I always find I can just park faster and better myself. So I wouldn't like buy a car based off of the Auto Park feature from any manufacturer because they're all annoying in practice. And it's like it sounds like a really cool thing until you use it once and you're like, I could have been in the store and drinking my coffee by the time this thing is still figuring out how to park. So don't base a buying decision off of that. I think a used Model X is a nice car. It's my least favorite Tesla, the Model X, only because the doors are annoying and everything. But if you just want the space and a highway cruiser, it's good for that. I mean, we spend a lot of time with both. And I think the Model Y is a better daily driver and the Model X would be a better road tripper. So you'd have to choose between those.
Tom, do Ford Lightnings, do they have Auto Park one? And also, are they now building them with heated steering wheels? I know that was a problem with the part shortage back a while ago, but is it still deleted from XLT?
Yeah, it's still deleted. I think you have to include it unless they change it recently. You have to get like an upgrade, and I haven't followed it that closely, but I know a lot of my followers sent me emails complaining about that. Like, right. If you want to get a heated steering wheel, I thought they were saying you had to pay $80,000. Well, I guess maybe
yeah, it was Tom, our the truck price decrease. It doesn't have it. The Lariat that yeah. I'm driving, it has the Ooh, credit for a heated steering wheel.
Yeah, I have it. I guess it was a chip thing or whatever, and they want to really hit you hard if you if you really insist on getting it, you've got to, you know, get a higher trim. I had it was no problem when they first started making them, so you know that wasn't a problem. As far as the auto park, like, I would never, I'm 100% in line with Kyle. It is the most useless feature on any car, in my opinion, unless you just are completely unable to park a car yourself. They take in every car, and I've used it in so many car, so many different manufacturers. They take forever to park. It's like, you know, somebody else will like jump in behind you and park in the spot that you're trying to park in. And half the times, I won't say half the times, quite often they curb your rims. And I've seen that in a bunch of different manufacturers. My BMW i3, when I first got it, and that was a little small car, so it actually would park quicker than some of the bigger cars. I the first time I tried it, just to see if it worked, I curbed my new wheels. So it's like, please don't buy a car based on the ability to auto park, unless you just really can't do it yourself and you have no choice, because it's such a wasted option. I've never even seen anybody really use it in life. And you would know if someone was using it, because it would take like 20 minutes for them to back into the spot. So please don't buy a car based on that. It seems like this person is dead set on a Tesla. That's what they said in there. So I'm not even going to throw out anything else. I'm going to lean towards the new Y rather than getting a used X. I'm not saying a used X wouldn't be a good choice, but it seems like financial considerations are high on your list. It's one of the reasons why you couldn't get the Cybertruck. You got a hard limit. You'd be... To get a nice X, you're going to be stretching your budget, but you can get a really nice Y with a lot of wiggle room. So I'm going to lean on the side of saving that money, keeping your money in your pocket, and getting a Y. You'll be very happy with it. They're super. This reason why it's number one selling vehicle in the world. You know, like it's a damn good vehicle at a really good price. So I'm going to say, you know, don't look past the Y. Go get the best deal you can on a Y, and you'll be very happy with it.
Yeah, maybe test drive them both, actually, just to see how you feel inside about the difference, because they're very different kind of vehicles, right?
Also, absolutely are.
On the Drive Electric with Dominic channel, I have a short video of me using auto park on the Tesla, and it took a full minute, I think 59 seconds actually, to park itself. It was like, yeah. And I've used it a few times, and it's always kind of slow. And every time when I back up to a Tesla supercharger now, I pull in, I'm like, one smooth move. It's really easy. You put the rear camera on, you can see the line, those lines up. I'm like, look, car, it's simple geometry. You just do this one motion and you're in, instead of like back and forth, like half a dozen times. I really don't understand what's so difficult about that, but I am not a software engineer, so there's probably something difficult about that.
I mean, the only way I would even consider useful is if I could hop out of the car and press a button and then just walk away, and as it takes its time parking. But sitting in the vehicle while the cars park themselves, it's like, it's maddening. Because like, right. You said, like, it takes a minute, and you know, anybody who can park a car themselves would take under 20 seconds, you know, probably 10 seconds. Yeah. So a minute is like pain. It seems like 10 minutes when you're sitting in the vehicle and it's calculating and backing up and going forward and backing up. It's like, I just can't deal with it. So it's a parlor trick to me.
Right. But I echo your thoughts, Tom. I think I'd lean more Model Y personally myself. I just like this. It's just tighter. It's just a tighter vehicle. I feel like it's long-term, maybe cheaper to own, because if things break or need replacing, those parts are probably cheaper on the Y than the X. I don't think they really have a lot of problems with the Falcon Wings doors anymore. That used to be a big pain point, but I haven't really heard anything about that much recently. But still, I would still lean Model Y, long range, right, with a big battery. Yeah. So That sound all right?
Good to me.
Okay, so let's move on, I guess, to our last email. So our final email comes to us from Stephen, and he says, "Hello, gentlemen." Oh, this one is quite redacted. This was quite a long one, so hopefully I didn't take out too much information, but I had to get it to fit on the screen, right? Right. So, "Hello, gentlemen. In late 2022, I bought a used 2021 Mustang Mach-E, rear-wheel drive, standard range, premium trim, and it currently has 22,000 miles on it. I love the car, but I hate the software and Ford support throughout the multitude of problems I have had with it. My wife has a Volvo XC40 Recharge, and we have a level 2 charging at home. Most of my driving is in town. However, we do make a 200-mile round trip about 3 to 4 times a year. A replacement vehicle would have to be a CCS vehicle that can get 225 to 250 miles at 75 miles an hour in central Illinois year-round, a Tesla, or a vehicle that can access superchargers at the time of purchase or very soon thereafter. I need a vehicle that is 30 to 32,000 max." I believe he's underwater in his Ford Mustang Mach-E by $5,000 or $6,000. So that's part of his calculations here. So he needs a vehicle that is 30 to 32,000 max. I have thought about a BMW i3 Rex, but not too familiar with road tripping one of those. Does it seem possible / viable to get out of this frustrating situation? Should I wait and see how the NACS adapter / charger activation works with used Mach-E's? Or should I just stand pat for a few more years, except I made a bad deal and live with the repercussions of such? Best regards, Stephen." I think he was curious about maybe rolling over everything here, his used trade-in and everything with it for a lease, but he wasn't sure how viable that option was either. So Kyle, that's a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot. Let's hear what Tom has to say. Let's go Tom first.
Sure.
All right. So I read the long version of this, and the person really explained all the problems that he had and the fact that Ford hasn't been able to fix the issues and plug and charge doesn't work and a whole bunch of things. And, you know, one of the things he asked, which really wasn't conveyed in the shortened version, was should I just keep this and try to make it work? And my recommend, if this is me, it seems like you like the vehicle. You say, "I love the car, but hate the software and the Ford support," so forth. I am going to make Ford fix this car. I am not going to accept that I made a bad decision buying their vehicle and that the dealers can't fix the problems. Even if I have to get a lawyer involved, I will get this damn car fixed at Ford's expense because it's under warranty. I'm not going to take a $6,000 loss and just get rid of it and eat that and have it added to a cost on another vehicle. Get the zone rep involved in the dealership zone representative. Tell them the dealer's not like make phone calls, make emails, rattle the chains. Get Ford to understand you're not going away until this car's fixed. It's under warranty. There's problems with it. And things don't work. So, I mean, it's a Mach-E. You should be able to use plug and charge now to access NACS. His plug and charge doesn't work, so he can't access the Tesla network yet. So, you know, these are big, serious problems that, you know, you have to have them settle. The car's under warranty. The Ford is under obligation to fix these things. So,
except he's the second owner, so he doesn't. Yeah. So from a warranty standpoint, you're totally right, Tom, but he doesn't qualify from a lemon law standpoint.
Right.
He's
exactly.
Not the original.
He can't lemon law it, but it's a Ford vehicle that's under warranty.
Yeah.
That things are broken and they can't fix. So, you know, just document it, you know, document everything, keep notes of every phone call you made. Every time you brought it to the dealership, this is going to require some work on your side, but you'll get it fixed. And who knows, if they just end up not being able to fix it, maybe at some point they'll just offer you a really sweet deal on a new one. And just to make you go away and stop tagging them on Twitter and social media and everything about what's, you know, how they're not fixing your car and how they don't care about the customer. So, you know, that's what I would do. I would just be relentless on getting this car fixed. I'm not eating $6,000 because they don't want to honor their warranty. So
yeah, I mean, that's the thing. You're going to take a bath on this car. You also don't have that big of a budget to get a really great road tripping EV out of it. This is already probably one of the better road tripping cars. You know, and if you're happy with it, then you don't need any more. It already has supercharger access as soon as you get your adapter. And you can use a third party adapter, which we don't officially recommend, but you can once plug and charge is fixed. And keep in mind, plug and charge on the Tesla network is kind of set up differently than for EA, at least internally. So it might still work on superchargers, even though it doesn't plug and charge on Electrify America. It's worth a try at least. And my recommendation echoes Tom, because you're going to be getting a used Model 3 in that price range, maybe an older Model Y long range, which certainly is a nice vehicle, but you're not getting like a brand new great road tripping electric car out of it. I would say your car has problems. If it worked perfectly, you'd be happy to keep it. Just hammer the crap out of them to get them to fix your car. And guess what? If they don't fix it, I'm sure Dominic would love to host you for a podcast and you can talk to us why they're not fixing it. And, you know, the Ford people listen to the show. So perhaps that could be an avenue as well. Not that we're here to like fix everyone's car problems. If you're listening to the show, don't email us with your complaints, because we are not paid to fix your car, but it could be an interesting approach.
Right. That's great. Yeah. I'm not even sure what to, yeah, if I would say I'm kind of leaning with the same way with as you guys, because so the 5 or 6 thousand underwater, that's more or less because he bought at the height of the market. I think maybe he had to buy with a dealer add-on, you know, a market adjustment to the price. So he, you know, he paid premium price, and really, so it makes sense to me to try to get as much value out of that car as possible. And as Tom, you know, said, you know, just badger them, get the thing fixed. And because then, you know, you'll be able to charge at all the Tesla superchargers. Like he has his regular long distance charging. He has like one Electrify America station that he says is completely unreliable. So he can't really, you know, rely on that one station to be available for him. So he needs that charging. And the Tesla, the supercharger network is pretty much the way to do that right now. And with a Ford Mach-E, he should be able to do that. So if he hasn't already, if you haven't already, Stephen, call and or write and apply for your adapter, because they'll send you a free adapter for your car. But also, I mean, maybe they might be able to help you with that during this other process of getting your plug and charge situation fixed as well. So yeah, because other than that, as Kyle was saying, you know, a Model 3, I guess, would be a great suggestion as well, but it would have to be used and 32,000 max. It's going to have some miles on it, I think, to find a Model 3 in that price range. You know, it would probably have actually it might not be so bad. 20,000 miles, probably get a Model 3, but maybe you don't want a Model 3. Maybe you want, you know, the Model Y more or something, but yeah. But I'll stick with Tom's recommendation, because I think it's a pretty good one.
And just document every time you call Ford or go to there, keep meticulous records of everything, because if you do have to go to an attorney, you want to be able to go, look at what I've been through to try to get this dealt with, and they're not fixing my car. And that all helps. You know, the attorney will put it all together and send it to Ford, and, you know, you might have to pay, you know, $300 for an attorney to write a letter. But once they do that, now Ford knows, okay, it's game on. This guy's got a lawyer now. What's happening with this guy? Why have we not fixed his car? So it's going to require some work, but don't eat $6,000 because they're not doing their job. You know, just don't, you know, it's wrong. You know, yeah, you could find another EV out there that's great, but you know, you got an EV that should be great, and make them fix the damn thing.
And he does love the car, like you said. Yeah.
Yeah. They will. If you stay on them, they'll fix it.
Oh yeah. All right, so I think that probably brings us to the end of this episode. Thank you for watching, and if you have any questions or comments, you can leave them below or get in touch with us on the social media platform of your choice. Don't forget, if you like the show, please give us a thumbs up. If you didn't like the show, please give us a thumbs up. Click subscribe, tap that bell icon for notifications. Thank you all again for joining us. It's been great. We'll see you all again very soon. Ciao.